Well, welcome this graduation Sunday here in Hoopston. I want to welcome everyone and certainly in prayer for all of our graduates today and proud of them at the high school. And I know everyone will enjoy graduation on this beautiful day. It'll still be really hot in the gym, though. Don't worry. So that'll happen. But it's my prayer today that some of you would graduate today from death to life by giving your heart to Jesus, by responding to his message. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, as we prepare to dive into your word, I pray that we would have open hearts. And Lord, a lot of us, every one of us in here, Lord, has something going on, good, bad, in the middle. But I pray that we would realize, Lord, this time is yours. We would quiet our hearts and our spirits and understand, God, there is not a one setting or standing here today that you don't have a work that you're doing and you want to do in our hearts and lives. I pray this would happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you don't know at all my story, I was called into ministry at a very early age and then spent most of my life, if not all of it, till about age 30, living life my way and running from God. And then at age 30, gave my life back to Jesus Christ and accepted his call for my life into ministry. And in doing so and upon doing that, I realized that I still had a lot of work left to do, and God had a lot of work left to do on me, and still does. But I came to that moment after becoming a follower of Jesus, after repenting of my sins and turning my life back to him, that I still had a tendency, not as much necessarily even to sin, as to be selfish and as to want to live life my way. And I realized and came to a moment, even after getting saved, where if we go to the slides, today's title is Two Ways to Live. And let me just actually backtrack. What we're going to be talking about today and next week for 2 weeks is that there are two ways to live our life. There are two paths. Now, what we like to think is there's a lot of ways in the middle, but there's really not. There is living your life as a follower of and devoted to Jesus Christ, and then there's not. And the enemy and the world and our own minds would have us think there's lots of stuff in between by accomplishing things, by being good, doing good works, coming to church. Those are great things. But there's either, as Jesus said, there's the broad way and the narrow way. And that's what we're going to talk about. I've never preached on those verses in almost 6 years here explicitly. And we're going to do that this week and next week. And we're going to talk about two life paths. But as we get into that, Psalm 119 says this. And I had to come to a moment where I had to consider my ways. Even though I had given my life to Jesus, I was saved, I still had to consider the ways of which I live my life. Because although salvation is a free gift, we have to understand that we still choose how we live our life. We still choose daily whether we die to ourselves, whether we're committed to Jesus Christ, or whether we're not. And so I had to consider my ways and turn my steps towards God's statutes, to not hasten, but to obey His commands. And what we're going to do over these next 2 weeks is I want to be really introspective to each and every one of us here, as we did in first service as well, about how you're living your life. This is God wanting to get your attention and give you a timeout about, okay, maybe some of you are here today and you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. Some of you maybe have, but maybe you've wandered off. Maybe your faith, your walk with Christ isn't where it should be. I want to ask you, what path is your life on? See, because as humans, we tend to not be very introspective because life happens. And it's just so busy, and it's hectic, and it's good stuff, and it's bad stuff. We need to sometimes step back. And the Bible tells us to judge ourselves so we don't have to be judged. And over these next 2 weeks, I want to confirm if you've had that moment, if your life is truly surrendered to Jesus, what a wonderful thing that is. And if you are here today and you have not, I want to confirm to you and take some time to give you a chance to do that by dividing God's word about what path maybe your life is on. Do you guys know that as Christians, that our lives should be becoming more like Jesus? You know that 1 John 2:6 says that if you're a Christian, your life, you ought to walk as Jesus walked. Well, I'm a Christian because I'm saved and I believe in God and I come to church. Guys, there is a broad way and there is a narrow way. There is a broad gate and there is a narrow gate. And God is a loving God and full of compassion, mercy, and grace. But we want to understand as well, there's a way to live our lives if we're followers of Jesus. And for some of you here today, you need to step back and reflect on your life. Yeah, I have to do it at times. I really do. And if you have your Bibles, turn into Matthew chapter 7. In just a moment, we're going to get to our verses about the broad and the narrow way and about looking at our lives. But before we do, I want to tell you the story of Charles Murray. Charles Murray was an Olympic Olympic diver training for the Olympic 1968 Olympic Games at the University of Cincinnati. Charles was not raised in a Christian home and didn't have that foundation, but he had a friend who began to witness the gospel to him as he was at the university in 1968 training for these Olympic Games. And this was all news to him. These claims about Jesus and that he needed to repent and that Jesus died in his place on the cross and that Jesus wanted to forgive him of his sins and he needed to make a choice of whether he would follow Jesus or not. And so finally the day came where this friend put the choice to Charles and said, Charles, are you willing and ready to give your heart and life to Jesus, to accept God's gift of amazing grace, to stop living life for yourself and start living it for Jesus? And Charles said, no, he wasn't ready. But over the next few days, what did Charles do? He, of course, avoided this friend like the plague, because that's what we do. He avoided this friend like the plague, but his heart was being worked on. So he was considering his ways. He was considering how he lived his life. One night then, Charles, he had special privileges because he was training for the Olympic Games. So Charles went in to practice in the evening, and he went in at the University of Cincinnati where the pool was a building that had a lot of glass panes, and it was a beautiful night. The moon was out, and he decided he wouldn't turn the lights on. He would let the moon reflect and illuminate. Charles got in, and he climbed up to the top platform to begin his diving, and you know, as divers will do, he turned around to balance himself and stretched his arms out. And when he did, he looked on the wall and he saw his shadow in the shape of a cross. And in that moment, Charles considered his life and said, you know, I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to stop living it for me. I need to repent of my sins. I believe. And Charles had a moment of brokenness, of absolute surrender to Jesus. And he actually sat down on the platform, began to pray for the first time in his life and pray to God that he would forgive him of his sins, that he would turn his life away from his own selfish ways to living for God. And as Charles is having this moment, as he is just broken right there because he took a moment, instead of just continuing his life and what he was doing, to consider his ways, which is what I'm going to ask you to do here today as well in just a few moments. Because he did that, he was in the middle of this prayer, and at that time the night custodian came around and flipped on the lights. It got Charles' attention. He stopped his prayer. He looked and he realized, unbeknownst to him, that the pool had been drained that day for repairs. True story. He would have dove to his death if he had not taken a moment to reflect on his life and his need for Jesus Christ. He took that moment and it saved his life. And for some of you here today, you're going to have a chance to do that as well. To some of you, it's just life as usual, life as normal, and you're going along and you don't ever take time to stop and consider your ways. And especially if you've never said yes to Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, you don't know when that diving board moment's coming for you. You're not promised tomorrow. None of us are. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. And for some of you here today, you're waiting for something to happen. You'll take a moment. You'll give your life to Jesus when? What if he had done that? He would have went into eternity without Jesus for an eternity separated from God and in hell. Well, Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 7 when he's at the giving his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is finishing his Sermon on the Mount and he's impressing upon his listeners that it's decision time. It's decision time. And for some of you who sit in church week after week, but your lives and your hearts don't belong to Jesus, you're not walking that narrow road, maybe today is your decision time. Jesus at the end of the Sermon on the Mount is talking to his listeners and saying it's decision time. And he says this. He says, enter by the narrow gate for, actually I'll just read it from up here. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And let's go forward to verse 21, please. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of God. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, drive out demons, and perform miracles? And Jesus says, I will tell them plainly, I didn't know you. Away from me, you evildoers. Sounds really harsh, doesn't it? But that's just Jesus' way in love of getting your attention today on May the 15th, 2016, about how you're living your life. Are you living on that narrow road? Now, when we hear this message, and if you've been in church a long time, we equate this with broad is the gate that leads to destruction, narrow is the road, there are a few who find it, with kind of beating us over the head about, you know, about sin, and of course sin is horrible, and about how we live our lives. And I want to take it another way today, which is this is Jesus in love reminding you, you need to step back and address what road your life is on and what path your life is on. And there's four things I want to take from this today, and I believe that they're life-changing, but they're also very sobering. And number one is this. There are really only two paths in life. We talked about that real briefly at the beginning. There are really only two paths in life. We want there to be all kinds of paths. And the world will tell you, you can live however you want, do whatever you want. It's your life, you be you, and all that garbage. Let me tell you something this morning. Don't be you. You try to become more like Christ. You submit your heart and life to Him, and you let Jesus take over and let His Holy Spirit live in you. This modern stuff of you be you and celebrate you. I don't like me. I don't want to celebrate. I lived for me for 30 years. I made a mess. I was a horrible God. God is sovereign in my life, and Jesus is my Lord. There's only two paths. There's living for Jesus or there's not. There's no third choice. And I believe Jesus was thinking of all mankind here when He was giving this direction. In this directive. And you see, we have to be very careful, because this can even apply to Christians as well. But in Proverbs, we're warned. It says, there is a way that appears to be right, but the end of it is death. Guys, is this not our world? Everything's right nowadays. Everything's okay. But the end of that is death. There's only God's way through Jesus Christ that brings life and that brings joy and happiness and lasting meaning. The world will tell you there's all kinds of ways to heaven. And I think there are two ways which people try to get in. The first is man's way, which is works-based. Be a good person, earn my way to heaven. And then there's God's way, which is the only real way to heaven. And that's what? That's being born again. That's Jesus. What, being born again? That's right. As the Bible says, that's right. You have to, and listen guys, this is the moment we're talking about. This is the moment that Charles Murray had on that diving board. And as you sat here this morning, you know if you've had that moment or not. Lord, my life is over, Lord Jesus. I turn to You. I repent for my sins. I give You my life. Live through me. I am done. You take over. That moment of surrender. And that's something we have to do perpetually as well as believers. But you know if that is your heart or not. Man's way says that we can earn it. Man likes to be equal to and to play God. Isn't that what mankind does? I mean, isn't that what we do? I mean, didn't that start in the garden? A loving God says, here, my creation, my chill here. You can have anything you want. It's all, just don't do this one thing. And what's the first thing they did? And don't we do that? All these ways we try to earn God's love, and we try to be good, and we try to find happiness in all these things, and we get caught up in this life which is just so short and fleeting, instead of God's way, which is Jesus as Lord, period. And He's the only way we're going to get into heaven. And Jesus, when He was finishing His Sermon on the Mount, these people came with this long laundry list of casting out demons and performing miracles, and they clearly thought they had something going on, like God owned them and like God like they were entitled. But Jesus reminded them, and Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15 that as in Adam all die, even so in Christ, only in Jesus can we be made alive. And that is not only to go into our eternity, but that is in this life and in how you live your life. Are you living it on the narrow road or not? Because guys, we don't earn eternal life. It's a gift. And you know how we get it? We inherit it, the Bible says. We inherit eternal life. The only way for you to inherit eternal life is for you to die to yourself and live for Jesus. That is it. And although God's gift of grace and salvation are free, you must lose your life to find it. There's not a person here this morning who's not going to lose their life. If Jesus doesn't come back first, you are going to die. And the only way to save your life is to give it to Jesus while you're still here and while you still have a chance. All other roads are dead ends. There's only two paths in life, two roads, and that is Jesus or not. Our second point this morning is Jesus told us, and there's only two ways to happiness. Now, this world, we've got all kinds. We've got the entertainment industry and sports and the substances and the chemicals, and people try to find it in relationships. They try to find it through money and sex and you name it. Some of these are good things under God's design, but we try to find happiness in all these ways because that's man's way, which is give me the world. And guys, I have had the whole world when I didn't have Jesus, and it doesn't end in happiness. It ends in always wanting more, always wanting something different, something else. It doesn't satisfy. God's way is give him your life. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells the story of what? Of a very successful farmer who had lots of barns and he had the most tractors and he was the most successful and he was president of everything and making money hand over fist. But in his case, this was his identity. This was his thing. And for some of you, it can be job, it can be sports, it can be social media, it can be relationships, it can be money, it can be pleasure. All these things that come before God, if they come before God, are sinful. And this man had all of these things and he was indulgent in partying and he wanted to build more barns and have more money. But there was just one problem. He wasn't rich towards God. And the Bible says that when that very night his soul was required of him, what did he have? He didn't have a thing. And guys, if you're finding your meaning and your purpose and your joy and your happiness in anything other than your relationship with Jesus, it's wrong. Let me tell you, I am blessed with a wonderful church and a wonderful wife and decent kids most of the time. No, seriously. And things I enjoy in life. But none of those things bring me my joy. My joy is in the fact that I know and love Jesus. I know that I have eternal life. I know that if I breathe my last today, and it could happen, I'm not in the greatest of shape, but that I know where I'm going to spend my eternity. I know that if he returns this day, that I will be with him. I know that my joy is in Jesus. Even when this life happens and it's not something I like, I know that he has a plan and a purpose. My joy and happiness are found in Christ alone. And under the context of that, I have these other things, and I strive to be a good husband, father, etc. But the only way to true happiness is Jesus. Now, this world will tell you there's all kinds of ways to happiness. And true happiness is found in when you really, this is your only life. You be you. Follow your heart. If anybody ever tells you to follow your heart, tell them they're a liar. Because the heart's deceitful. Don't follow your heart. Again, follow Jesus. Follow his word. More cars, more mansions, more vacations, all these things will make you happy. No, following and giving your life to Jesus is where you'll find happiness. Because that's why you exist, for a relationship with God. That's it. And that's found only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where happiness is found. In Luke chapter 17, the Lord reminds us to remember Lot's wife. Of course, whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. Whoever loses it will save it. Let's think about Lot's wife leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, when you hear that, what do you think? You think of what? Sexual sin? They represented the world. They represented the things of this world. And too many Christians have got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. One foot with Christ and one foot in this life. Why? This world's not even our home, is it? It's temporary. This isn't my home. Your home is heaven. Our home is with the Lord. And I mean, I like my home. I love my family. But my home and our home is with the Lord. This world isn't even it. And too many Christians, like Lot's wife, keep looking back. And it's destructive. It killed her. And it's also it's something that's symbolic for you and I to say we can't love the world. We can't love the things of this world. We can't love the world too much when it keeps us, and anything that you love that keeps you from a right relationship with the Lord is sinful to you. The only way to happiness is this life that is surrendered to Christ. It's in Jesus alone that happiness is found, and you need to understand that. John 16:22, let's talk about this for a moment. Jesus is talking about that no one can ever take away our joy because he's coming back or we're going to him. That's where joy and happiness are found. There's two ways to live your life. There's man's way and there's God's way. There's two ways to build your life. Jesus told us what? He said that there's two ways to build your life. There's a foundation that is built upon the sand and a foundation that's built upon the rock, which is him. Can we go to Matthew chapter 7? Jesus says, whoever hears these things that I say, and I'm going to paraphrase, and does them. Whoever takes the moment, the initiative, the introspection to respond to me, Jesus says, to repent, to give me their life. Whoever takes that, whoever responds and obeys me with their life, he says, when life happens, and it will happen. You won't fall. You won't lose your joy. You won't lose your salvation, for you and your life are founded on Jesus. But whoever hears God's word, whoever sits in church every Sunday and doesn't respond, whoever ignores and is lazy and thinks, oh, whatever, you're like a foolish person who has built your house on the sand, and when the rain descends and the floods came and the winds blow, it will fall. And this person will go into eternity saying, Lord, Lord, I believed you existed and I went to church some. Jesus is going to say, but you weren't mine. Your heart did not belong to me. You had not surrendered your life to me. Why did you not do so? To not only gain eternal life, but to gain full and abundant life now. Can I ask you something? If you're a Christian this morning, and yes, I'm a Christian, is your life living out the words of Jesus? Now you have to ask yourself that. That's serious. Is your life, is your daily life living out the words of Jesus? Because if not, I would question, what's your life about and who does your life belong to? Because one day your life will end, which is our third point. There's only two ways to die. You're either going to die in Christ or you're going to die alone. And an alone like you can't even imagine. Eternity going into it separated from God. There's only two ways to die, and that's in Christ or that's alone. Jesus tells this story in Luke chapter 17 of the two men, who there was the rich man and there was Lazarus the beggar. And the rich man, I don't want you to think money. The rich man was rich towards this world and towards himself. I don't care what his bank account looked like. He was rich in the fact that he did what he wanted. His life was for him. His life was about him. He cared about himself. And then you had this beggar, this poor man who was rich towards God, dependent upon God. And after they died, of course, the situation was reversed. The person who lived for themselves was in torment, and the person who truly depended upon God was in paradise. And this illustrates the two ways to die. This illustrates the two ways to go into eternity, and that's belonging to Christ or not. The Bible says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to life. And this is our fourth point from Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7, and this is so illustrative. There are only two gates. These roads lead to gates. And one day, whether Jesus comes back or you die and go into eternity, there's the Bible says two gates. Let's put the verse back up. Can we go forward, please? Two slides? Okay, sorry. Jesus said this. I'm going to look at this. I'm going to use my Bible. Jesus says that to enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. Here's what I want you to think about related to that. I want you to think about your life right now today. I want you to think about your relationship with Jesus. And I want you to think about the fact that your eternity, it could come today. It could come for any of us. I want you to think about a big tractor trailer or a big U-Haul behind you. I want you to think about what you're taking through your life right now. Because the broad gate, you can bring in anything you want. You can live in sin all you want. You can be as sinful as you want. You can be as selfish as you want. You can lie all you want. That's right, Christians. I know Christians. I catch Christians in lies more often than you would think, and it's heartbreaking. All the lies you want, all the bitterness you want, all the prejudice you want, all the judgmentalness that you want, you can bring anything you want and put it in that big tractor trailer. You can just live life that way. All the greed you want, all the gossip you want, all the hidden sins. That's right. Bring anything you want because it'll all go through that big broad gate. But you know the only thing it's getting through the narrow gate that leads to life and leads to heaven is just you. You've got to set all that stuff aside. And you've got to give your heart and life to Jesus. And let Him take your sin and the fact that He took your place be what matters in your life. The broad gate, anything goes. How many times I've heard, oh, that Church of God, they just preach anything goes. Are you joking? Sin wrecks lives. Sin will take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. And that includes the sin of spiritual apathy and of just staying the way that you are and never having that moment where you turn your life to Christ, or never, that's right, Christian, been in church 1,000 years, never having those moments where you repent of things, those moments where you pray that God changes your heart. You need those. I need those. Narrow is the gate, and we're not bringing anything through it but us. So as we live our lives as followers of Jesus, we have to make sure we're on that narrow road, that we are pruning, that we are staying plugged into the vine, that we are in God's Word, that we are plugged into His church, that we are being introspective about how we're living our lives. And for some of you here today, let me tell you, I have had these moments. I've had these moments more recently than you would probably care to love. But I'm going to tell you, it's true, because this is real. This is life and death. You got to have moments where you do drastic things. Not crazy things, drastic things. I don't know if any of you know the name Aaron Ralston. I'm sure most of you have heard the story. On April the 26th, 2003, he was an outdoorsman, adventurer. He went climbing. And in the midst of his climb, he dislodged an 800-pound rock that came down and crushed and landed on his right hand and on his right arm. He was literally trapped between a rock and a hard place. Literally. He was alone. 5 days he sat there thinking of anything he could do to survive. And if you ever read his book, he actually had a conversation with himself, and it went something like this. Dude, you're going to have to cut your arm off, or you're dead. No, man, I'm not cutting my arm off. Are you kidding me? I can't do that. If you don't do it, you're dead. It's been 5 days. You're dehydrated. You're not going to make it much longer. And if you know the story, Aaron Ralston took out a rusty pocket knife with no anesthetic and cut off his arm. True story. But he survived. Some of you spiritually today need to do something drastic. You're living in sin. You've sat in church and heard the gospel message but never responded. Your heart is apathetic towards the lost, is lukewarm. You've just God is not here to make, God, His Spirit this morning does not want to make you feel guilty. He wants to convict you. He wants to move you. He wants you to respond to His message of love, to His message of grace, to His message of truth. Some of you spiritually need to pull out the rusty pocket knife and cut off your arm and be real. You're living in sin. You've got sin in your life that's just there. You don't read God's Word. You're not serious about your relationship with Jesus. And I'm here to beat you up. This is a message born out of love. This is a message born out of much praying and fasting, and as it almost always is. Here's the application for you this morning. If you want to follow Jesus and get to heaven, sometimes it always requires a choice. And no choice at all is a choice. This message, if you've never responded and repented of your sins, you know how many people have went into eternity wishing they would have done something? Some of you are on the diving board today in your life and you just don't know it. You've hardened your heart too many times. You've went too far. You're living in a sin that you've always gotten away with, but at some point it will get you. It's happened to me. Some of you don't know that the next dive will be your last if you don't take a moment to reflect on your life and respond to Jesus. I want to watch a video here in just a moment. And I came across it this week, and it's based on the old hymn that we sing here sometimes, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." And I didn't know the story behind the hymn, but it's a pretty powerful story. And it made me think about our lives and what we who say that we love and follow Jesus would be willing to sacrifice. And what are you sacrificing? To some, we won't even give up the sin. We won't give up the tithe. We won't give up the relationship. We won't give up the gossip. We won't give up the time. But we say that we love Jesus, God Himself. This video hit me pretty hard about what it's costing me to follow Jesus. And I want to see if it speaks to your heart as well.